Welcome to Come Drink the Water with Pastor Ben Garotti of Calvary Chapel, Montrose.
Here's the good news. There is good news in that this is the most amazing time for you and I to be alive. It really is, right? Before the foundations of the world were ever laid, God chose us to be alive, at the end of the church age. It is a tremendous privilege, if you may. And God has given some, but not all, the insight and understanding and to understand the truth that is going on all around us. We get it. We see it.
Rain down on me. I need you today. I can't live without you. Fill me again, I pray.
Today you are going to hear Pastor Ben say something about the book of Revelation that you probably thought you would never hear. He says there is good news. Anyone who has spent any time reading this book knows why this is shocking. But Pastor Ben's point is that you are living during the best time to be a person of faith. You will be ready for the events described in this book and will spend eternity with God in heaven. These events are in the future, so you will not suffer like those who find their faith too late. Now here's Pastor Ben in the book of Revelation, chapter 6, as he continues his message, The Scroll is Opened.
I'm going to pray, then we're going to read our passage, and I'm going to share what our Heavenly Father wants you to know that's still up ahead. And his son Jesus, who is in charge, who is going to watch us be with him as he lets his wrath come down on the earth. Father God, prepare us now to receive from your word. Holy Spirit, help us to focus and to learn and to grasp what you are saying to us through the word. Remind us, Lord, that we are privileged to know the future. And while our world is collapsing quickly, while our world is not doing any better but growing worse, Lord, we know that our time is soon. So help us be faithful to you. Help us to understand your word. Help us not only for our sake but to share it with others who still have not come to you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation chapter 6, reading from the New King James Version of the Bible, verses 7 through 11. And God's word says this, When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, Come and see. So I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him. And power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beast of the earth. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren, who would be killed as they were, was completed. Remember that the events that we are going to be talking about, they're events that have not happened yet. They're events that are right in front of us are going to happen in the near future. So in that sense, John's wording was a prophecy, and it still is a prophecy of things yet to come, right? So this is what we've been talking about, events that take place in the future. The events, as we are learning, they take effect. They begin to come into motion, into action, as soon as this age of grace, that we've termed it, is over with. And all things come to pass on the earth. So this age of you and I being able to freely come to Jesus Christ is going to end. And it ends with the Lord taking everyone that has received his son as his personal savior. everyone whose spirit has made them understand and declared to them, this is true. The word of God is true. And so our hearts were convicted and we embraced the things of God and we asked them by faith to come into our heart, to forgive us of our sins, to wash our sins away. And so now in response, we could raise up our hands to him and worship him and love on him. It comes to an end with him removing us from the earth as his wrath then begins to be poured out on the earth. So it all begins with Jesus going to the Father's hand and removing the scroll that Father had in his hand. That seven sealed scroll opened. And so we learned that seal number one, as he opened it, right, it revealed a conqueror on a white horse. And he comes as a false Christ. He comes as a very influential person. He has a tremendous personality. He has leadership skills. And the world is going to go after him. Now, why? What's leading to this? When we are gone from the earth, it leaves a vacuum. Right now, there is still a power vacuum where we see Russia flexing and China getting ready to flex. And the Middle Eastern countries are vying for power because the U.S. of A., shame to us, just doesn't have it together right now. It just doesn't. And our nation is splintered. If you didn't know what being prejudiced was before, you certainly do now. It seems like it was something from our past that we had gotten past all these things, but now we all know about racism. And there's racism that's crazy right now. And if you're not of the right gender or transgender, you will not be accepted into some colleges across America. So we didn't know this about racism before. A lot of us were past all this. We knew that our roots weren't the best, but now that's crazy. We're more aware of racism, and everything you do is, oh, that's racist or whatever. If you don't like raisins in your bran flakes, then you're a racist against raisins or something. I mean, it's just nuts. We have gone backwards. We're shooting ourselves in the foot. It's a sad situation. But here comes the person, while these countries are in a mess, who is going to take leadership, right? And so he comes conquering, the Bible says. And so we learn that he's going to take over. He comes as a false Christ. Secondly, when Jesus opened up the second seal, we're just in the seals. We haven't even opened the scroll. We're just taking the seals off, right? The second seal revealed a rider on a fiery horse. And so on a fiery red horse. So we learn that he brings war on the earth, not just in your neighborhood, but it's all over the world. He's going to bring war on earth. And then the third seal, it revealed a rider on a black horse, and he brings famine to the earth. So just as an observation from this third one, this third seal, right? Verse 6 revealed that a quart of wheat for a denarius and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius. And so what we learned from that this means that it's a day's wage to feed one mouth. And it's so expensive, that's all you could afford. And so we call this inflation, right? When the prices are so high that you cannot afford this. If you had buying power of, let's just say, $360,000, you could afford to buy a house and it could be that affordable, you're going to drop to like $290,000, $285,000 in your buying power. That's what happens with inflation. And so we see that a quart of wheat for a denarius, 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, this kind of speaks of inflation. And right now we are in that time. Is the Lord prepping for something? Is this the step one? And we're here. And if we're here, then we're right about to leave here. We're right about to be taken up into heaven. You and I need to be anticipating the Lord coming for us really soon, as you see and you look across America and across the world and see what is going on, right? Gasoline, diesel for our trucks is skyrocketing, and so is the cost of groceries, right? Now, speaking of America only, because I can't speak for the other countries, but speaking of America only, we have certainly shot ourselves on the foot, as we say, right? By handing out stimulus checks, right? And thereby putting to sleep a labor force that was out in the fields and out doing whatever to get ready, manufacturing steel, getting parts ready, doing this and that, you know, keeping our inventories up. We have shot ourselves in the foot. As America and as Americans, we have no idea how bad it's going to be to wake up for us. Will it ever wake up again? Will people all be happy to go back to work? I don't know. But here's the good news. There is good news in that This is the most amazing time for you and I to be alive. It really is, right? Before the foundations of the world were ever laid, God chose us to be alive, to be alive at the end of the church age. It is a tremendous privilege, if you may. And God has given some, but not all, the insight and understanding and to understand the truth that is going on all around us. We get it. We see it, right? We're seeing the beginnings of the Antichrist world system come into place before he is even identified. But remember, when he's identified, he's not a little boy. When he comes into power, he's already a man. So he can be very much alive at this time right now, growing up, or is already in his mid-20s and 30s. We are close to that time for us to be taken out of here as God's people. This would be uncomfortable to watch what's going to happen, except Jesus promised to rescue us before his wrath comes on the earth. He promises that. The Bible says, wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. You should know these scriptures. You should know these scriptures. We are not going to go through the tribulation period. We are not. And I know I told you before, in Christendom, there are some believers that don't make it to heaven as well. But when the rapture comes, we're going to have to just get them by the neck and take them with us and try to explain it to them again, because they don't believe that we're going before the tribulation starts. There are some Christians that believe we have to be beat up before we go. We have all been bad, so we need to be beat up by the Lord, and so we have to go through the wrath. How nuts is that? I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that to them, but I said it to you. I think it's nuts to think that. So be ready, church. So with that, we are now ready for the rest of the scripture. Amen? So the fourth seal, verse 7. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, come and see. So I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him. And power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beast of the earth. Church, the fourth seal now has been opened, and John was invited to come and see, as we read. Church, the fourth rider came forward. John must have started feeling goosebumps, a fear going up his spine, if you may, right? For it wasn't just one rider as the first three seals, right? But note, there's two. Here, death has been personified as well, right? So you got death and Hades followed with him. So we see these things, right? Now, most of you know, but just in case you don't know, just in case you've been a new Christian and you don't know these things, there's more to death than just a physical existence. Death biblically means eternal separation from God. That's what it means, eternal separation from God. Hades, in this sense, means those who die at this time will be separated from God forever. They're going to be separated from God forever. So John is seeing two riders, and therefore each has a part in the exit of a person from this earth. That's a pretty hard thing to see, right? I mean, he's seen this. Both riders have something to do with the exit of a person from the earth. It is what those familiar with boxing would call a 1-2 punch, right? That is, death takes the body while Hades takes the soul. That's the 1-2 punch, right? Doom, the guy is physically dead. But the soul, we know that the believer's soul, to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. Not soul for the person that doesn't know the Lord. So death takes the body, right? And then Hades comes and takes the soul. Eternal separation from God. That the horse is pale represents plagues and pestilences that will strike the whole world. The whole world. Now these riders, in the second part of verse 8, says they have been given power to kill over a fourth of the earth as they gallop around it. Here's a newsflash for you. This morning at about 6:30 a.m., I Googled what is the world population of the world right now. And according to Google, The world's population right now is 7.753 billion. Our Bible states over a fourth will be taken by these two writers. Over a fourth, right? So we can estimate at least 2 billion. When I divided the 7.753 billion by four, it gave me 1.938 billion people. And since our Bible states over a fourth, we can estimate two billion people are going to be killed by these two writers. That's a whole lot of death going on. We're gone. Again, we're not going to be here, but these things are coming on the earth. Church, these writers, death and Hades, take out 2 billion people. How? How are they going to do this? Well, look at your Bible, last part of verse 8. They have been given power to kill with the sword, right? With hunger, with death, and by the beast of the earth. Now, to kill with the sword, let's take the first one. That means violence. That means complete violence, right? As we see the news when a riot breaks out. It's going to be bad. Right now, there's riots. And when those riots come, there still is restraint. Now, if you're in the middle of one, you never want to be in a riot. Never. It's something that you want to avoid with all your life, to be in the middle of something that's going on like this. But there's a little restraint still that's going on. Well, it says the Christians are gone. So the Holy Spirit is not right now in a lot of people's lives, right? The rapture has already happened. He's working, but not right now as much people around. So there's going to be hardly any restraints at all. And so a riot will break out. Now, bear in mind that the seed of hatred against Americans has already bloomed. It's starting to bloom even more. Seeds were planted, but now it's blooming, right? And the media and the powers that be, they have pitted one American against another American. It's kind of like the North and the South of the Confederacy years ago, right? Once again, when we went into that war, it has happened in the hearts of people. There's hatred being brewed in us. Again, if you didn't know anything about racism far as 6-7 years ago, right now you're keenly aware of racism in everything that they do, right? It's not more, it's even the LGBT that used to be, now they have 26 to even more letters attached to it. It is really, really sad. It is darn right sinful and an attack on the children of America right now. So what's going on? You need to be aware. Again, we are close to the rapture. You need to keep hanging in there, you know, as a Christian, but understand what's going on in the world around you, just not Montrose, right? It is bad, and it's going that way. And God have mercy, but his wrath is going to be poured out. And that's why he's going, we're that much closer to the rapture and being out of here, right? So they pitted against each other. But as we say, the old American adage, you ain't seen nothing yet. It's going to become even worse. Unless we understand killing by the sword, we understand people also dying of hunger. Again, we talked about that a little bit before, the not finding everything on the store shelves and the guys not being able to work anymore. So it's becoming crazy out there. And next comes up death, when we look at death. To say that people will die by death doesn't really make a lot of sense to us, huh? So we must consider the original Greek language, where we bring our language to. And here, death is thanatos, right? Which can also mean pestilence, which when we consider the context, it makes more sense. So death is pestilence coming on the earth. And church, it's interesting that the number one industry in America ever since 9/11 is the healthcare business. The whole business of healthcare is the number one business of America after 9/11. And it's interesting because right after 9/11, it was this world health thing and everybody else that said to you and I, be careful when you open your packages and your mail. You are looking for a white powdery substance called anthrax. Remember, they threw that anthrax, and so the people of America start responding to it. People in the world did too, but I wanted to understand that the control that goes out there. We have the world health. We have health business being number one. And if you're involved in it, good for you, I guess. But understand that because you're innocent. And you're just holding down a job. You're trying to do the best for a human being. But there are powers afoot. There are plans afoot that are being manipulated and created. Anthrax doesn't grow in a bush. It is manufactured and put out there, right? And so there was a warning against that. Then they told us how smart we really are, though. We want to get your confidence. So when we find something bad on chickens, on beef, or on veggie, right? We will call them, and the markets will call everything back, and we have saved your life. You can thank us for it, right? So we start gaining all this confidence in them, right? And then the COVID comes up, right? And COVID also does not grow on a tree, right? We have found when we bomb some of these things that there are American laboratories, and America has their stake in it, and we are part of the problem. And so when we think about this, you have to really realize and kind of take a air view like from a helicopter looking down and saying, oh my gosh, there is this thing about we use up too much water, we use up too much electricity, there are not enough natural resources for everybody, there's almost 8 billion people on the planet. What are we going to do? Well, you know, if we're the smart ones and if we want to survive for our families, we have to eliminate the world population. We have to get rid of all these numbers are ridiculous. All these, do we really have to save the starving kids in Africa? You know, do we really have to let women have their babies? We should abort. We should ignore. We should close our eyes to something. There are plans afoot to reduce the world population. And unfortunately, the world health systems and our health fields, through vaccine or through whatever they're going to get in their heads to do, they have a purpose to eliminate the world population so it's ran by elitists up on top, right? That's why they're having the hardest time with America because we're all nationalists, right? We're for flag and country. We try to be until they tell us, well, waving your flag is not a good thing because when you wave your American flag, you offend the Lebanese, you offend the Saudis, you offend the, and they give me 20 other subjects of people I'm offending. Well, I'm sorry, I'm in America. You know, when I came here, when my parents and whenever any immigrant came to America, they learned to speak gosh darn English. That's all there was to it, right? And so we need to be thinking, oh, wow, Lord, what your word says, we can see that there's this plan afoot. And so as Christians, as we see this, again, not everybody sees ahead. Not everybody's seeing the signs, but we have to be aware. Jesus says, the signs are times in which my coming is quickly for you guys. And so we can't just have blinders on. We have to be seeing this whole thing and be really about the Father's business and really about getting our loved ones saved as much as we can, bringing them to church, whispering things about God with them, prayerfully that they would come to the Lord before the rapture, but if not, certainly after the rapture. All right. Now, it's interesting again, and don't you just find it ironic that we consistently, year after year, hear of another virus that's going to threaten our lives, right? There's another one coming up, right? So I personally not believe that COVID, as tragic as it has been for so many of us, I don't think COVID is nothing compared to what's coming ahead. COVID was tragic. Man-made stuff was tragic. A lot of our friends died of COVID, right? But what's coming ahead, COVID is just a little thing. Well, finally, church, these two riders on a pale horse have been given the power to kill by the beast of the earth. Now, this is pretty scary. By the beast of the earth. Think about this for just a second. We have learned that there will be a shortage of food worldwide. But just imagine it in your own backyard here in Montrose, Colorado, right? Food shortages for humans means food shortages for the wild animals as well.
You've been listening to Come Drink the Water with Pastor Ben Garotti. Pastor Ben has been going through the book of Revelation, and we've learned so much about what the final days will look like before the return of Jesus. Revelation 6, 1 through 2 says, "Now I watched when the Lamb opened one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures say with a voice like thunder, 'Come,' and I looked, and behold, a white horse. and its rider had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he came out conquering and to conquer. The following chapters chronicle the opening of each one of the seals and the troubles and difficulties they will bring to the earth. But before this point, those who believe in Jesus will be secured in heaven, far away from the death and destruction. If you already know Jesus, then are you sharing the good news with your neighbors? You might feel nervous to bring it up, but we've got a tool to help you share. Head over to our website, calvarymontrose.com, and click on the tab that says Know God. This tool will give you confidence as you share the good news with the people around you. Come Drink the Water is a ministry out of Calvary Chapel Montrose in Montrose, Colorado. Are you in the area? We would love to see you this Sunday. Everything you need to know, including our location and service times, you'll find on that same website, calvarymontrose.com. Be sure to come back again for more from Pastor Ben on Come Drink the Water. Many captives free, Holy Spirit, I need you to guide me.